Okay, now we're ready to go. We can record this. And because a number of our people are away, some of them are sick, and they may want to catch this later. At least I hope they do, off of the website. We've been talking the past few weeks about how you hear the voice of God, how you recognize the voice of God, how you know God is talking to you, and what's going on with that. We've looked at dreams and how dreams are mysterious and mystical, and they start bringing out the deeper things that God's already put in your spirit and in your soul. And as that comes forward, you begin to understand how God is speaking to you in some ways. Last week, we looked at obedience, and the purpose of obedience is it puts you in the position to see the presence of the kingdom. And it's not that if you don't obey, God's going to get you. He's not. He's already got you. And when you are walking in obedience, you see the kingdom coming your way. It's like standing, as we said, in the middle of a river. And if you're looking downstream, it's flowing away from you. If you're looking upstream, the water's flowing to you. So you want to be facing upstream. That's obedience, doing what Jesus said. So you start receiving it. Today, what we're going to look at is prayer, which is often where people will say, well, I don't know how to pray, or I pray and God doesn't answer, or whatever it may be. And there are some very specific things about prayer that come from this gospel reading today, as well as the reading from Jeremiah, where, about the resurrection, being children of the resurrection. Very profound sorts of things. And when you start to see that that's what's at work in you, then your prayer life begins to deepen. You begin to recognize the voice of God in a new way. And you find that you're able to move ahead and in your faith in a way that you weren't able to move ahead before. So that's what I want to share with you today and move ahead with you in that, in the practice of prayer. And it has an awful lot to do with what we think about heaven. And that's what we see in the gospel today. The gospel reading today, there's these guys called the Sadducees come up to Jesus and they start testing him. And the Sadducees, it even says there right in Luke, did not believe in the resurrection. And they are compared, as you may recall, with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees did believe in the resurrection. This is the major difference between the two. They were two groups of religious leaders in Judaism at the time, and the Sadducees would teach, there's no resurrection, and the Pharisees would. And the Sadducees, of course, were really agitated with Jesus because Jesus taught there is a resurrection. And Jesus was really in line with most of the Jewish teaching of the day. The Sadducees were a small minority, but nonetheless, they had some influence. And what most Jewish people believed at that time, and it's really reflected in the New Testament, is that you would die, and then there would be a period where you are somewhere, and then there would be the general resurrection. That's where Jesus is coming from when he talks about the resurrection. That's what's going on in all these debates about the resurrection. When Jesus says, for example, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. That place is, the Greek word is the word for a temporary house. I go to prepare a place for you to stay temporarily. It'll be fine. You'll like it. It'll be fine. But that's where you will be spiritually, physically, everything until the general resurrection. And then off you go with a resurrected body, which will be a lot like the body of Jesus after his resurrection. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the happier that is. Yeah. So that's what's going on. Now, the Sadducees come and they say, listen, this resurrection, what about this marriage stuff and all this? And whose wife is it? They really thought they had him, but they walked right into it. And Jesus is able to say to them some things. And the main thing he says at the center of what he presents to them is what's very important for us and our prayer life. And he says they're neither married nor given, marry or are given in marriage because they are children of the resurrection. You and I are children of the resurrection. And the end game for us is the day of the general resurrection when we rise to new life and we receive that resurrected body which is prepared for eternity. And it is prepared for that day when Jesus reigns over everything. That's where we're going. We are children of that era. Children of what is coming and breaking into the future. Now, what that has to do with our prayer life is something extremely specific. Because when you are praying, you are hearing from that day. The day when you have that resurrected body, when Jesus reigns over everything, there are things happening there that you begin picking up on in your prayer life now. And you remember a few weeks back, we looked at the Lord's Prayer very briefly, and that phrase in there, give us today our daily bread, what the language allows and what Jesus inferred was, give us tomorrow's bread today. And that's what we're receiving as we pray. Now, the one thing about that where we usually lose a little confidence is where Paul says, for we know in part. Then we shall see in full. We shall know in full even as we are known in full. But today, we know in part. So what that calls for us to do is to shift our confidence just a little bit, just slightly. Maybe for some of us, it's a little more than slightly. Nonetheless, we shift our confidence to where we are, in fact, satisfied with today knowing in part. With tomorrow's bread, the amount that we have of it today. And that fills us, it satisfies us. And we know we'll have to get some more bread tomorrow, but that's the satisfaction. It's like Israel in the wilderness where they had collected enough manna for one day, except for the Sabbath, and it was 2 days. And you just collected for what was right for that time, for that day, that period. Today, when we pray, we receive for what is right for now, for today, because we see in part. Now, this is you should see you all looking at me right now. What? So what is it that we see in part? That becomes the main question. You see what in part? The signs of the kingdom. The signs of the kingdom as they apply to you, as they apply to those around you, as they apply to what's going on in your life, as they apply to your calling, your destiny, your present day need, everything. It is everything. There is a sign of the kingdom, a presence of the kingdom that applies to who you are and what is going on with you right now. And when you start praying, you start catching it. And it may be a small matter, it may be a large matter, but that's what's happening when you pray. And so you can start taking confidence, well, I just know in part, that means you have an answered prayer. And it's an answered prayer from the presence of the kingdom. Now where that comes from is directly from Jesus. And you remember what Jesus is doing right now. He's praying. He is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. And the intercession that Jesus is giving, the prayer that Jesus is praying, is that his will and his desire and his kingdom will come. And when he looks at you, He's praying that his kingdom will come in you. So when you are praying, you could generally jump in by saying, your kingdom come. And then you start leaning in, listening, catching, however you do it, for what Jesus is praying about you. And you agree with that. And you'll know in part what he's doing with you, and the rest of it will come as we go along until that day of the general resurrection when we will know in full what is on his heart and mind. Now, I take great confidence in that myself because I know that Jesus is a much better prayer than I am. And that he will get his prayers answered much more completely than I'll get mine answered, the ones that I come up with, the ones that I want. And when you pray, you're beginning to shift your desire from whatever it is that's in there now. It may be yours, it may be something else, something you inherited, whatever it is. You're shifting your desire to his desire. And you're preparing yourself for what he is choosing. And you're putting yourself in the position as if you're facing upriver to receive what he is sending. That is the purpose of every wilderness. That's what happened with Israel. Israel was in this wilderness, and they were there for so long because it was preparing that nation for the promise they had yet to receive, which is moving into Canaan. When you are in a place where you know in part, you're not sure what's happening, you know God is there, but you don't know exactly what God is saying, that is a situation in which your spirit and soul and perhaps even body is being prepared for the promise that is coming your way. The promise that will be fully realized at the day of the general resurrection, at the day when Jesus reigns over everything. And in between now and then, there'll be a portion of it that comes, and then perhaps a larger portion. And it may seem as if there's a time when you have moved away from that and you don't know why. So you seek after him again. All of those are answers to prayer that come from him and that you can receive and walk in and know and understand. Now, what I want to do this morning is give you a couple of examples of how you could practice that, because it is a matter of practicing things and doing things so that you keep receiving what God is giving you from the kingdom. And all of it is on the foundation that you are already his. He loves you more than you know. He is ready to provide for you everything and even beyond what you can imagine. And what your practice is to relate to God who acts that way and not just get things from God. John Wimber used to say, when you pray just to get things from God, you've married him for his money instead of for him. So here's some practices. And you might try them out. You might have some of your own where you were thinking, I'm not really praying, but now that you begin to understand what it is to be a child of the resurrection, you know, okay, maybe that's going along fine. One of our bishops, Bishop Gulick, has this is what he says. He says, listen, you all probably take a shower every morning. He looks at the room and he says, it appears as if you do. This is what I want you to do. He says, this is what I do. And this is what I want to encourage you to do. When you're in the shower and the water is coming over you, you might pray, Lord, let my baptism mean something today. That puts it in the hands of God, what that would mean, what it would mean for you today. You recognize that you are sealed by the Holy Spirit and you are marked, that's Christ's own forever, and that you would let Jesus take the step of fulfilling what it is today that that baptism means. And you walk into those promises, and whatever kind of step it is, large or small, and there you go. You're on your way. That's one way of doing it. You do that every morning, and you are preparing your soul and your spirit and your body for the fullness of that promise on the day that it comes. Okay, here's another possibility, and you would be familiar with this, and perhaps able to take another step with it. And that we're all familiar with the Lord's Prayer, and we'll pray it together in just a few minutes. And we may have a tendency to pray through it pretty fast and not think about what we're praying. You'll still get benefit from that. Even if you're thinking about something else and you're praying through it, there's still the benefit of that because it's the words of Jesus and it's flowing through your being, and that's always good. But you might take a more contemplative, slower approach from time to time and just linger over each petition for a moment. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You can go slower than that and just wait and see. Listen and receive. And what may happen is that on one petition or another, you may find yourself pausing longer and something coming to mind. That would be the Spirit of God bringing something of the kingdom of God into your consciousness to be praying for right at that moment. You may have something go on one occasion or another that is painful or difficult or challenging in a way that may seem too much. And you don't know what to pray, and your anxiety is rising. You think, well, now what? Why isn't God answering me? And then you just stop and take that practice. You say, Lord, I want to hear what you're praying about this situation. So then you just go into that pathway. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And maybe it's that one where the pause gets richer. Something happens. You feel the Spirit of God tap you on the shoulder or whatever it may be. And you just pause there and you say, in the middle of this, let your name be hallowed. In the flow of what I'm feeling right now, let your name be hallowed. In all the questions that I have, let your name be hallowed. You go around like that, whatever it is. Or it may be one of the other petitions, of course. And then you just stop and you do that. You're leaning into the day of the resurrection, which is what the children of the resurrection do. You can go along with any of these methods, or there may be some other things that you have found helpful to you personally, and you go ahead and do them. I know some people who set their clock, their watch, their phone, wherever, however they tell time, at a certain time of the day. Maybe it's noon, maybe it's another time, maybe it's... one that some people like to use is 7:14, either a.m. or p.m. after Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people will humble themselves and pray, it's a reminder like that, or any other verse about prayer, you could do that. And when the alarm goes off, it reminds you it's time to pray. They might do that Lord's Prayer or some other petition, just to repeat it. There's that great Jesus prayer out of the Orthodox Church. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Great during Lent. There are other things as well where you do that. Whatever method is helpful to you that the Lord gives you, that connects you to the day when there will be no more hunger, no more crying, no more sickness, no more death, no more mourning. All of that is gone because of what he's doing. Anything that connects you to that is an excellent prayer time, and you are hearing from God, even though you know in part, you are hearing from God. So this is my request of you today. If you would ask God to show you, how do you want me to pray? Or if you like, you can get a little more specific. How do you want me to hear what Jesus is praying and agree with that? Now, obviously, this is on an individual one-on-one basis because we pray here together every week, and that's part of how this works, part of your prayer life. We're going to have some special prayers in a few minutes as well. If you would also then ask God, what is it you're telling me about my prayer life? What do you want me to know about the way I pray or the way prayer goes for me? It's just taking a step back from the actual practice of prayer and asking, what do you want me to know about this? And that might be a good first question and go into, okay, how do you want me to move ahead in it? And you'll find that it'll be perhaps a lot more natural than you would think it would be. And you're going along and you have a little richer prayer life, and you still have your bad habits, and you still get mad at people, and people still get frustrated with you, and all kinds of things that you thought would be all the much better now, they're still the same. But you are receiving from the day when Jesus reigns the things he wants you to receive. And that would be the point. As we do that, let's pray for each other. Would that be okay too? You can apply that to other people, Lord. Pray for somebody. Kingdom come. Or whoever it else. Let's stand before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can walk into this place of holy ground. We can come into the place where we know, even though it's in part at this point, things of you that you choose to reveal. And we ask that you would open our hearts, soften the places that have been hardened up and calloused, enable us to walk in the way you desire, and especially to hear your voice and follow in it all the days of our life. Amen.